All right, let's continue our teaching on our school of prayer. Remember, we are talking about how to deal with the devil in your life. And last time I was talking about the fact that the devil is a liar. And I'll just pick up from where, I can't remember exactly where we stopped, but I think we stopped somewhere and we'll just continue teaching and then we'll be telling the truth. It's only the devil that's a liar. Amen? All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's start again from where we started from last time, the book of Colossians chapter 1. Just what we began with last time that we used for our confession of the word of God. Maybe we'll do the same thing again this time as we commence the teaching. All right, let's start from verse 13. He said, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." He said, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now, please notice that. Remember, this is our prayer seminar on how to deal with the devil in your life. Let's quickly rise to our feet now, all right? And let's quickly take our confessions, all right? We're here from Colossians chapter 1 to bring out the point that we are free. Everybody say it, I am free.
I am free.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Say like you believe it. Please say, I have been delivered from darkness.
I have been delivered from the domain of darkness.
I have been transferred into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Say it like you believe it. I am not under the power of the devil. The devil cannot hold me down. His demons cannot hold me down. Say it like you believe it. I have been delivered from their power. Say, the blood of Jesus has washed me clean, has washed away my sins, has removed the hold the devil has upon me. The prince of this world may come. That is the devil. But he has nothing in me. He has nothing to make me fail. He has nothing to make me die young. He has nothing to use to keep me down. Because I was down and I believed. And with Jesus Christ, I rose again. Say, I have been raised up with him. I am seated with him on the right hand of God, far above principalities and powers. Please, I want you to understand this. Say it. It is not by my effort. It's not because I prayed hard. It's not because I studied hard. It's not because I gave plenty. It's just because I believed. Once he said it, I accepted it. And it is so in my life. Say it. He said it. I believe it. That is the truth about my life. Now, we are going to say this. Please notice that you are saying it. I don't care about my present conditions. I don't care what surrounding things look like right now. The truth is that I am above and I am not beneath. The truth is that I am a success and I am not a failure. Jesus was rich. He became poor so as to exchange my poverty for his riches. Now I have the riches of Christ. I have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. I have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. I am not under any ancestral curse. I am under the blessing of Jesus Christ. Abraham's blessings are mine. Say it like you believe it. I am not under any ancestral curse. I am under the blessing of Jesus Christ. Abraham's blessings are mine. Every hindrance in my life is broken. Every obstruction in my life is broken. I am moving on with God. And I will manifest divine destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say it again. I am moving on with Christ. And I will manifest my destiny. Nobody can stop me. Nothing can stop me. Say, nobody can stop me. Nothing can stop me. Nobody can stop me. No situation can stop me. Nothing can stop me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's take our seats. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, let me tell you something there. I would recommend you book these CDs in case you have not been doing that. And just play this first. How many minutes was that? Is it up to 5 minutes? No.
like 3 minutes, right? Play it loud when you want to sleep. And wake up in the morning, I think you should do that. All right? Yeah, because the walls have ears, you know, everybody around has. And when you are hearing it, it becomes your song. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, it becomes your song. It becomes the way you respond, all right, to situations, all right? That's just the way it is. There's something this morning as I was driving to the office, I decided to listen to the book of Genesis chapter 1. And then even though I've listened to it many times before, of course, I've read it. I'm sure everybody's read Genesis since you were a child, all right? Unless you were born by Muslims. And since you started going to a Christian school, you started reading it too, right? Okay. But something struck me today. As I was just listening to it again, and they told Adam and Eve, don't eat. And that funny fellow came and said, has God really said you should not eat? And the woman was going through long talk. Are you getting my point? And then Satan was able to suggest doubt into her heart. And once she doubted, she ate. And then they heard the sound of God coming in the evening. And they went to hide. Now, before that, the first thing that happened was after they ate, what did they find out? That they were naked. What does that tell you? Your perspective about life depends on what you consume. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. I just heard that. I said, Jesus. It was what they ate that told them things about them. So watch what you eat. Watch what they feed you with. I was just driving today. In fact, I put off the player. At that point, I started thinking. I said, my God. Your perspective, how you see yourself, how you see life, depends on what you are consuming. You know, something, as I'm telling you now, it just clicked. You know, it just clicked. Something just clicked. Now, many years ago, how many of you went for Wafbeck? There are some Wafbeck people in the house. Wafbeck. God bless all of you, Wafbeck, that went. And those of you did not go, I hope you have the Wafbeck messages. Let this will not leave us behind, amen? We have to all move together till we all come. Not one person come, till we all come, all right? Anyway, now, Pastor Poju organized Wafbeck. I've listened to him for a very long time. The first time, one of the first messages I heard him, actually, he wrote this. I never heard him. I didn't know who he was. I just used to read, just like you have these magazines now. There was this one, just two sheets, all right? This one is four. Just two sheets that he used to write, covenant letters. So I picked one then, and he explained something that, just now I'm remembering it. I'm connecting what I heard this morning. He said that what was different between Joshua and Caleb compared to the 12 spies, all right, was what they ate. I don't know if you hear what I said. That they were eating manna. The other ones were eating quail and all kinds of that. Those two people were eating manna. I was like, were you there? You know those kind of... He said it, no apologies. He said, listen, he was talking about food. In fact, the title of that message was Manna, the Food of Champions. The next one I read was Gospel, the Light of the Nations. I said, I have to look for this fellow. Because he was saying things that, of course, you know, one page. What can you say in one page? I will try and understand no explanation. So I went to go and look for him. So one day I finally found him. And that day he preached a message titled Inheritance Inside the New Man. And since that time, my life has not been the same. And I pray you listen to it also. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, just remember that now. That he said it's what these people were eating. That they were eating manna. Now, when you eat manna, you will believe God. If you eat something else, you will be seeing giants. That those people ate manna. So that when they saw giants, they couldn't see the giants. They were seeing victory. It's just this manna. Just as I'm talking to you now, I suddenly remember that thing he said. And I'm connecting that the Bible actually says that in the book of Genesis. That what you consume is what shows you things about life. Adam and Eve, there was nothing different between them. That is, before they ate and after they ate. What changed was their eyes. God didn't say to them, where did the glory go? When did you become naked? He said, who told you you were naked? I don't know whether I get the point. He's like, you are just the way I left you. But what are you now telling me? You have changed inside. Outwardly, nothing has changed them. But you see, listen, and that's the way it is. Were they still blessed? They were still blessed. God had not come to drive them out of their blessing yet. I hope you understand my point. Everything they had was still there.
They were still in the garden. Everything was still the way it was. It was when God came that he pronounced judgment and then he drove them out of the garden. But before that time, they had decided we are naked. We can't go out. I don't know what you got to say. The Lord was approaching. They went to hide. This was the Lord they would have come to meet. He was approaching. They went to hide. This is our normal meeting place. Where are you people? They were hiding from behind the tree. Why? Oh, I will never dress. What dress are you talking about? He said, who told you you were naked? Then they connected it. They have eaten something. And what they consumed has changed their perspective towards life. You watch too much television, news analysis. You are consuming all the news outside. You will be this, listen, with the same potential, the same ability, they will tell you something different, and failure becomes your portion. Because when the Lord came, they didn't go out to meet him. The Lord, who's their help, when he came, they didn't go to receive help from him. They went to hide. Why? Because they consumed something and their eyes changed. Their bodies did not change. They were still inside the garden, but they had a different opinion of themselves instantly. Be careful what you consume. Be careful what you consume. That's why if you go, look, I'll tell it to you straight. You know, you can't be nice for too long. If you go to a church where they tell you, now, if you like, be angry. It's the truth. That they tell you that they ate your placenta. That's why your head is like this. Stop going there. No, did you hear what I said? That the problem with your life is who ate your placenta, whether they buried it properly. Anybody tells you that, just be nice. You know, let's not be indecent, all right? Just calmly wait for the service to end, pick your bag and say, sir, I'm not coming back. You're not angry. You are going to change my impression of life, my attitude towards life. When you start telling me funny lies, remember what we said, how to deal with the devil in your life. The devil doesn't have the kind of power that people think he has. He doesn't have it. You see how he gets his power? He feeds people with lies. When you believe it, I told you last time, life can be, it looks relative. You can see virtually anything you want to see in this life. No, really. Hey, listen, may Satan not talk to you and you believe him. Satan can make, one day a friend of mine told a story. One young boy, he was misbehaving, teenager, becoming unruly, was going, one day one senior brother decided to talk to him. What is going on? He made up his mind his mother hated him. Why? He was doing badly in school. Now everything was upside down. Why? Because one day, he wanted to go somewhere. He asked his mother for money and his mother said no. And that instant, he decided that my mother doesn't love me. Listen, she gave him money yesterday. I don't know whether I get my point. And these days, you know, how can it be so stupid? I'm not like that anymore. I've learned. It is Satan. What did I call it?
Satan.
What did I call it?
Satan.
You didn't hear me?
Satan
will just sit. Oh, I like those Kenneth Hagin visions. Just sit on the person's shoulder. You know, if you read Kenneth Hagin's visions. Nobody sees the Satan sitting, the devil, sitting on somebody's shoulder and whispering into the ears. Go and read that book, Triumphant Church. You see how he whispered. The little demon whispered into one woman's head, a married woman, until he sent her to hellfire. A good Christian. Whispered. Go and read the book, The Triumphant Church by Kenneth Hagin. Whispered, started telling her things. And after a while, she began to believe it. And when she believed it, she began to live wrongly. That's why I said, watch what you consume. Of course, our consumption now is not food. Are you getting my point? That's physical food. It's about the words that enter into your heart. So he said, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard it with all diligence. Where people are pumping your ears full of nonsense, close your ears. You go to a place, maybe you have a friend. You know, this life, you must be born again. What did I say? He said, but I've given my life to Christ. I know. You have to change your friends. That's part of being born again. You go to places where they wear down your faith.
and you think you are being nice, they are from my place. Which one is more important, your place or your faith? You have friends saying, no, we have been friends with childhood.
Eh?
Oh boy. Childhood has passed. Adulthood, we have to move forward. No, it's true. It's true. I cannot remain friends with you. You understand? Every time I talk to you, in a discouragement. When I come to you, I'm happy. I'm excited. Life is looking beautiful. And after talking to you for 5 minutes, I'm discouraged. You bring me down to reality. I don't know whether I get the point. And you think you are doing me a favor. You bring me down to reality. You think you are doing me a favor. Don't worry. After a while, in fact, I'll stop coming to your house. When you are coming, if I see you near the gate, you're coming near my house, I quickly dress up. You know what I mean? Dress up, brush your hair quickly, wear a tie, carry a bag. Ah! What's happening? Are you going out? Hey, right now, yes, I have to go out. As long as that's not a lie. No, it's not a lie. You actually plan to go out now. It is when you made up your mind, you are not discussing that one. It was when you saw him, you made up your mind, you are going out. You are not coming to stay here with me. He said, I was going to stay in your place today. He said, no problem, my place is open. When are you coming back? I'll call you. Yeah, my friend, I'll leave my house for you. I'll give you the keys. This is the fridge. This is the drink. There's one new pot of soup there. I mean, I'll go and look for a man of faith to hang with for that night. It's true. And if you are bold, you know, there are some people that are very bold. They will just tell the fellow straight, oh boy, this is your company is not profiting me. Yeah, some people are like that. They don't send. You know, some people not send. They will tell you, if you want to hang, go and hang. You will hear it. No, they will tell you straight. You tell the fellow straight. But if you are a nice guy, all right, which is not good for you sometimes, all right? If you're a nice guy, use other methods. Avoid the fellow. Or you can go on the offensive. What am I going on the offensive? When he arrives, put in one bishop with a dangerous message. You know those people like, I can never be poor. Poverty, die. You know? Thomas could not even forsake because the anointing, you know, just... As the more he complains, turn off the volume. When that one is finished, put another one. He will leave. Don't worry. He's not comfortable. He will go away. The point is this. Be careful what you consume. Don't let one agent of Satan be coming to feed you with nonsense. I said something last time. What is a lie? A lie is not that which is in disagreement with what I feel like. It's that which disagrees with what the word of God says. No matter how much it appears like it's in keeping with what they call reality, if it disagrees with the prophetic word of God, I am sorry, it is a lie. This is how Satan gets a hold in people's lives. He feeds them with something that is a lie. They believe it, their perspective about themselves, all right, their thoughts about themselves and about life changes, and that's the beginning of failure. Start giving explanations that are ungodly for all the challenges you're having in life. Like I said last time, who doesn't have challenges? Remember our story of challenges? Jesus had challenges, God has. When your mother doesn't believe in you, it's a serious challenge. When your treasurer is a thief, it's a serious challenge. When you go to your own hometown, and they say, we hear they heal people elsewhere. My dog is sick. You know it's a serious challenge. If somebody doesn't speak with you from the perspective, he said, to the word and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to that word, it is because they do not have the light of dawn. That light has not shone upon them. Do you understand the point? You want to overcome Satan in your life? Watch what you hear. Don't believe any nonsense. It's not everything people feed you with. You think you have the, you know, I'm open-minded. Oh boy, there are times you have to be narrow-minded. Narrow is the mind that leads to life. You don't know? Is it not in your Bible? All this open-mindedness, what's leading America, they are everywhere now. Narrow is a mind that leads to life. Are you getting my point? It is narrow. Say, how come you are just so narrow-minded? That's your problem. I like it like that. That's what Jesus said. That is the one that's going to find life is a narrow path. No, it's not an open-minded path. It is narrow. What is my definition of truth? As long as my narrowness is not about my village ideas, my personal ideas, about the scriptural ideas. If the word of God has come to me, anything disagreeing with it is not true. It is not true. I said something last time. Ignorance is the major problem of the church. Ignorance. And that is what Satan feeds on. You want to fight the devil, fill your heart with what? Knowledge. You want to fight the devil, fill your heart with what? Knowledge. That's what it is. That is fight. It's not, let me say this again. It is not prayer you use to fight the devil. And I mean it like that. It's not prayer. Jesus did not fight the devil with prayer. If you go and check, we're talking about your personal life. You want to fight the devil in somebody else's life? It's a totally different ballgame. We're not discussing it now. We're talking about your own personal life. It's not prayer. You can employ prayer as a way to do the other things that you are supposed to do. Are you getting what I'm explaining? For example, to have understanding is not struggle. You pray. All right? Give me understanding and I shall live. It's a prayer. But you see, it's the understanding there that's the defense that you are using. Are you getting my point? We read from Ephesians chapter 1, all right? Paul said it like this. He said, I pray for you that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So you see, you can pray so that you have understanding. But it is not the prayer that's fighting the devil directly. It is the understanding that fights the devil. It's what you know. That's why when Jesus Christ came, and when Satan came to him, he didn't answer him with, be careful yourself, wait, let me go and pray about you. No. He answered him directly. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, that is how a man lives. It was just a direct word. Bow before me and worship me, I'll give you everything. Listen, it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, only him you will serve. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Every response was with the word of God. You don't fight the devil with, are they vexed, are they hungry? You know what I mean? Are they hungry? Are they fast? That's what I mean. That's not what, you know, in fact, let me digress into it briefly. You know why I read that long length I read? I won't go into the details now. When we finish on Saturdays, the series, The Season of Fruitfulness, we'll begin on that series. I'm looking for the title to call it, all right? But I want to examine this Jesus again. People have to understand, you know, I called my wife the other day. That was 2 nights ago. Was it yesterday night? We're watching those funny people. 2 nights ago, yes. I just sat and I stumbled on it on National Geographic. And they were showing this every 12-year program on the bank of the Ganges River, where the Hindus gather. About 30 million people gather over a few days and be, you know, doing things around the river, including bathing inside it. They believe that three rivers meet there. Two of them are physical. All of us can see that one. But they say there's a third spiritual one that joins. And then we see things that people... I called my wife, come and look. You see what people were doing to attain spirituality. And I was feeling sorry for people. A man had not sat down or laid down in 10 years and he had 2 years to go. I don't know what I heard what I said. He has not sat down or laid down in 10 years. He's going to do that for 12 years. And that one has kept his hand raised. And he's going to do that for 12 years. By the time we saw, I think he had done it for 10 years. He had 2 years to go. He had kept the hand raised. Do I have to tell you all these people were walking around naked? In fact, they will hang stones on their genitals as a sign of spirituality. I'm not kidding. I was just looking at it. And we're looking at this book. I said, what is going on here? They are trying to attain. That's why I read all those things I read in the book of Hebrews. Trying to enter into something that Jesus just said, you believe and enter it into it free. If you see, no, you don't understand. This guy has been standing for 12 years, for 10 years. And he's going to stand for 12 years. Do you understand my point? He has two saws on the instep, yes, that's the English word, you know. I only know medical words. It's an instep, you know, the instep of his feet. All right. Two saws there because the feet were swollen at the time. They blistered and ruptured. He had not sat down in 10 years. How does he sleep? You say, they tie a kind of pillow like this, hanging it from his ceiling in front of him. You lie on it. I told my wife, this is what annoys me when the Christian tells me he wants to fast so as to connect with God. What have you done? You're hungry for 2 days. That's why I went into that. It's not, when we're confessing, I'll just ask something. Remember, it's not because of what I have done. It is because I keep on emphasizing that because there is this madness that Christians have to be delivered from in thinking that I will be delivered from poverty because I gave. And when they go to pray, it's inside their heart. After everything I have said, some people say, all my investment, you won't collect and you're wasting like that. Inside them. You say, in Jesus' name, I receive it by, I receive it be free. I thank God I'm a giver. God, you know, I am a giver. You know, my own give. You know, the pastor Frankie time will give, you know. Connect with something. And look at the Christian, what have you done? They're talking about forsaking the world. Those guys forsook their clothes. You say, I'm forsaking the world. What thing you have? You stop wearing expensive. You're going to be, you start going to some churches. Let me not mention names. Let some people think I'm talking about them. Is that wearing sandals instead of shoe? These guys don't wear anything, no cloth, naked, with apart from one small, you know what, when you go, what America will call G-strings. They have one small G-string that these men will wear, which they will discard when they have matured. I don't know what I get the point. They can wear now because they're just being initiated. Then when they have matured, they will now discard it. You see them, thousands of them, climbing up to the mountains, 10,000 feet without clothes. That place is cold. What are they trying to do? They are trying to attain spirituality. I watched it and I shook my head. I said, these people need Jesus Christ more than average. Those things don't defeat the devil. They don't defeat the devil, but the devil just sit down cross-legged like an eight-armed goddess over them. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to say. All these things don't defeat the devil. Your fasting does not defeat the devil. It doesn't. Only one thing defeats the devil. You shall know the truth. Are you getting my point? And that truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. It's not your struggle. We'll go into teaching on that one later. And you see what, you see, in fact, it's good you see things like that. So you know, if it is works, you have not done anything. That was why Martin Luther cried at a time. Let me tell you, these things you think is just these Hindus. Christians did it at a time. That was what Martin Luther fought, in case you did not know. He shouted, no. It's by faith alone. Because he too had done it. Do penance for your sins. You will crawl on your bare knees, on rough stones, for a long distance. And say, why? You are suffering from your sin. One day, the Holy Spirit said, my friend, get up. Are you going to believe the word of God or not? It is by faith and by faith alone. St. Francis, he also tried it. You know St. Francis of Assisi? The one that the current Pope is named after. I read it so long ago. He too tried it and said, this is not the will of God. He also did it. He went, they call it asceticism. Those guys, after some time, they said, I beg, this one is not the will of God. Listen to me. All those things don't defeat the devil. What defeats the devil is that Satan thrives on ignorance. Remember, we've been emphasizing it, that truth is not what feels real to me. Truth is what the word of Christ says is true. If I'm sick, I feel sick, and the word says I am well, I can feel sick. That's my problem. The truth is that I am what? Well. If all the witches, you know me and witches, we have, you know, but just to help illustrate, if they all sat down like this, maybe I'm lying down, I wake up, and all of them are on my back, they say, we are hereby oppressing you, I won't even answer them. You can't oppress me. I will know it's cartoon, spiritual cartoon I'm watching. I will just know. It's not possible. No witch that loves any iota of life will stand on my toe. If I cut my nails, they won't stand on it. I don't mean my literal toe. Say, Pastor, cut nails. Drop them somewhere. Go and stand on it first. Not to even talk about stepping on my toes. Then you now oppress me on my back. I will never believe it. Because it is against the word of God. How do I overcome Satan in my life? I know truth. I go after truth. That's what we said last time. The devil is a liar. And all over in life, what he's trying to do is to, listen, he's trying to feed people with lies. And many of these scientific, let me tell you something about lies. Many of these scientific things they tell us, all right, is lies. You see, if the foundation is destroyed, the Bible says, what can the righteous do? Listen, I meditated about this on this a few days ago, and I came to a conclusion that a lot of science is, well, because of my own profession in medicine, I realize a lot of things they can't solve now is not because God is not willing to give them the power, all right, but because they go there with one fundamental issue. They tell you that everything occurs spontaneously for no explanation. So they approach research with that mindset. For that reason, they are not finding a lot of things. If I was teaching, maybe people in this particular career alone, I would have used some serious illustrations. For years, scientists have been looking for cure for cancer. Then yesterday, I thought about it. I said, you know why they are not finding it? Because they believe that mutations are basically spontaneous. Sounds funny, but I can't go into details about that. I realized that, listen, until you make up your mind that, listen, Isaac Newton said it, every object continues in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line until an external force acting upon it compels it to do otherwise. Until you sit on that and sit on that alone, which tells you from the scriptures in the beginning, God created. And then he said, an enemy has done this. You have to add those two things together into your research. You make advancements in leaps and bounds. Once you keep on saying that, no, in the beginning, nothing exploded and created something. And then something suddenly moved around and then visually joined and became a human being. You can never make serious progress. And go and check it. Those who made real scientific advancements don't think like that. They can't think like that. They can't think like that. Because of fleshly behavior of human beings, they may come outside and talk, but when you look inside, they can't think like that. They cannot, because they've seen things. You know, this is our current edition. We put something inside there, which is scientifically more probable. And that man there, Chandra Vikar, you know, his name is so hard to pronounce. Chandra, what is his name again? So, this Chandra W, all right? The guy is a professor, all right, of Applied Mathematics, University of Cardiff. He said that except you are biased, all right, either by, what were the words he used? He said, in conclusion, you notice what he said. If one is not prejudiced either by social beliefs or by scientific training into the conviction that life originated on the earth, all right, it was fighting what they call neo-Darwinism, all right? This simple calculation wiped the idea entirely out of court. He said the enormous information content of even the simplest living cell cannot, in our view, be generated by what is often called natural processes. Take time and read that thing. The man explained that the chances of one of just some amino acids coming together to form the smallest of these proteins is less than 1 in 10 raised to power 40. So in case you don't know what it means, the whole of the atoms in the known universe is only 10 raised to power 80. We didn't write more. He said more than this. That due to the combination, the only sensible thing that there had to be a template written. Now this is interesting, but this man is not a Christian. He's a Buddhist. He doesn't believe in God. So we're just speaking purely on scientific basis. You know, say where does he doesn't believe? Of course, he doesn't believe in God, so he has his own ideas. I'm not talking about that. But all I'm saying is that. But you see, people will just close their eyes and be, you know, preaching a kind of what they think is true, but it's absolutely a lie, and we will believe in it. I've told you when I was in Owerri, I don't know, maybe because my congregation there was quite old. You know, not very old. I don't mean elderly people, but I mean, the average age. Some people were younger, but average age, they will be between 40 and 50. You know, people were older. You see people in their 60s, the one I went to in Norway. So maybe that's why the Lord put that upon my heart. But I spoke so much about old age that it's not a disease. Don't read a book that tells that as you get older, your bone starts getting weaker. If you believe it, it will happen. That your brain starts shrinking. If you believe it, oh, refuse it. Just refuse it. When you read, I don't care the evidence you want to give me. The word of God says simply, an old righteous man will be full of sap. That's what it says. I would never... One day I was driving, I told somebody that my knee was aching. He said, you don't the old. I said, no, it's not age. It's too much use. You know, press. So let me readjust how I drive. Which was age? I'm not going to... When I used to drive my cousin in Lagos, and when I was much younger, my left foot was aching me because of pressing clutch. You know what I mean? You know, press clutch. You will drive inside, go slow like this. Manual car. May God not give you a manual car inside, go slow. No. That is that time for Lagos. So one day we were descending that bridge around in Ikeja, down to Bankantony. We're just coming down that from airport side. I was so tired, I used my right leg. I crossed the ground to press the clutch. That is. So, you know, I just got confused.